Good morning, Belmont.
Good morning.
Is anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I know I am. Hey, my name is Wes. I am one of the elders here at Belmont. And let me say, it is my privilege and my honor to be here this morning to be able to deliver the word to you. For all of our first-time guests and visitors, we are so glad that you have chosen Belmont as your place to worship this morning. Over the last couple of weeks, my wife and I, we've been out of town mourning the loss of my grandma, and I'm trying not to get emotional, but as close as I was to her, I was able to rest in the fact that so many of you called and texted us and just to say you were praying, and I did just want to take an opportunity this morning to just say thank you to each of you. Thank you. It really means a lot to know we belong to a church family who, through action, will pray for you, who will call you, text you, send you an email, and just let you know that you care. So thank you guys so much. It's also relieving knowing that my grandma is in heaven with the Father, amen, that she's sitting down watching over us right now, just basking in the Lord's happiness while he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, well done." So, as Pastor John alluded to, this is an exciting time. If it's your first time here, we are starting a new sermon series, and so you are in luck because you don't have to miss anything. You can come back for the next 5 weeks, and you'll be right on target. Today, I'm going to jump us off in Jonah. We're going to be reading from chapter 1, and I'm going to take us through verse 6. But before I do, I got to take a quick survey. By show of hands, raise your hand if you have ever read or heard the story of Jonah. Oh, great, great. So y'all can help me preach this morning then. All right, all right. Raise your hand if all you remember about the story of Jonah is something to do with the big fish, large whale. Saw a couple of hands from the kids. Y'all can be honest. This is a judgment-free zone. All right, hands down. Raise your hand if all you remember about Jonah is something about him fleeing or running away from God. All right, couple hands down. Yeah, so for me, if I had to be honest, I raised my hand about the fish. That was all I remembered about Jonah, was something about a fish. And so while I was studying and preparing for the message today, I came to realize Jonah is really about so much more. The story of Jonah that we're going to go through is really a story about you. The story of Jonah is really a story about me. The story of Jonah is really a story about how God pursues us with his grace. Let's pray. Father God, the story of Jonah. Wow. Honestly, Lord, I don't remember reading the story of Jonah. It's been several years, but I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful that you found it acceptable that I, as your humble servant, would be here today to share this message. So many truths revealed in the passages. And Lord, really, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you just move me out of the way. This message, this sermon series, this has nothing to do with me, nothing to do with the pastors, the elders here. It has everything to do with your people. It has everything to do with your grace, with your truth, with pursuing your glory. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for each person represented here. I thank you for their families. I thank you that you woke us up this morning, that you found it in your heart to bring us here to this place right here, right now, for this time so we could hear this message. And I pray that all of us would be changed, that we would leave this place not the same as we came in, but that we would leave a little bit more knowledgeable about you, a little bit more in love with you, a little bit more in love with your word. Father God, we need you so much right now. I need you. We love you, we love you, and we love you. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray, and everyone said, amen, amen. So the title of our sermon series this morning is Pursued by God's Grace. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write down four main points. I know I'm going a little out of order. We normally do three, So just buckle up. I'm giving us four. The first one, God calls Jonah to a mission. Number two, Jonah runs from God's mission. Third point, you can run from the mission, but you can't hide from God. You can run from the mission, but you cannot hide from God. And our last point this morning, you are needed for God's mission. I'm going to ask that you take out your copies of the scriptures. If you don't have a Bible, there should be some Bibles in the seat pocket in front of you. If you've got the Bible app, take out your phone. Pull up Jonah. I'm going to read starting in chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm going to take us through verse 6. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." All right, so we're going to go through the verses and we're going to try to unpack this and see what exactly it is we need to pull out of these verses this morning. So number one, God calls Jonah to a mission. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Amittai means son of my faithfulness, saying, "Arise." I want you to mark this word or highlight this word, arise. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. So God calls Jonah to a mission, begs the question, what is the mission? Well, I'll tell you. Jonah's mission is to go to an evil city and preach against it. The Ninevites were an evil people and were in line for disaster. However, God wants to see people saved, even if they're evil, amen? Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and the Assyrian Empire was one of the most violent and deadliest empires of ancient times. Not only that, God typically sent his prophets to go talk to other God-fearing people. He didn't normally send them to other nations. But as we understand from 2 Kings 14 and 25, Jonah had supported Israel's aggressive military action, which means he strongly supported his own country. He strongly supported the well-being of his own people, and he was not concerned with other nations or other people. He was a born in the USA, made in the USA type of guy. All right? In essence, God is sending Jonah to preach to the very people he hated and feared the most. This was unprecedented. To kind of give you a better illustration, I'm gonna use Don and David. I already told them I'd use them. Don't have to get up. Don and David, most of you know, if they were given a mission from God, they would do it, no doubt. Amen. If God called Don and David right here, right now, and said, "I have a mission for you," I guarantee you both of them would be out the door at 12 a.m., feeding someone, clothing someone, giving someone a place to stay, right? But here's the illustration. God is calling Don and David to go to North Korea. Not only is he calling Don and David to go to North Korea, he's calling them to go to North Korea to preach against North Korea and tell them they're living in sin and they need to repent or they will be destroyed. Whoa. That's a mission. That is the type of mission God is calling Jonah to. We all here this morning are called to some type of mission by God. But what is that mission? What mission is God calling you to this morning? I want you to think about that question for a minute. What mission is God calling you to? If you know, I want you to keep that mission in mind as we continue on. And if you don't know, I want to encourage you to make that your prayer this morning. Ask God what mission he would have for you. So God calls Jonah to a mission. What does Jonah do? Thank you for asking, Whitney. The answer is point two today. Jonah runs from God. We pick up in verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Highlight or underline presence of the Lord. Why did Jonah flee? Because Jonah does not want the word of the Lord to come to these evil people. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. Turn to your neighbor and try to say Tarshish 3 times fast. Tarshish. That is a very... I think that's why he went to a place where it was just hard to say because he thought nobody was going to find him. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the what? Presence of the Lord. Highlight presence of the Lord. So where is Tarshish? To help paint a picture this morning, here's Jonah. He's in Israel. Hey, guys. All right, Nineveh is somewhere way over here. Nineveh is about 220 miles north of present-day Baghdad. I'm trying to help my non-geography majors out here. So this is Nineveh over here. Jonah's still over there, all right? Now, Jonah goes about as far away from Nineveh as he possibly can on the opposite end of the world, all the way out here, and I would go out the door, but somebody's out there. All right? That's how far away he went from Nineveh. And in this one verse, you'll notice, it tells us that he went away 3 times. Not once, not twice, but 3 times he's going to Tarshish. So we know he is not going to Nineveh. There is no way. Furthermore, he's running from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, you can't run from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, you know when your child does something and you know they should know better and you're like, Winston, I just feel like that. I just had to say that when I was reading. Jonah. You can't hide from the presence of the Lord. Psalm 139 and 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Nowhere! Jonah! Not only is Jonah moving away from the Lord, he is going down. Check this out. Down to Joppa. Down to a ship. Down to Tarshish. And if we keep reading, he's going to go down to sleep, down to the belly of a fish. Each step away from the presence of God is one step closer to going down to death. Church, you can certainly try and run from God. But let me be clear this morning that each step you take away from the presence of God is one step that you are taking in the direction of the enemy. John 10:10 says this, the enemy only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why would you want to move in that direction? Jesus, on the other hand, comes to give you life that you may have it to the full. Church, we need to be moving in the presence of the Lord. Earlier, I asked you what your mission was. For some of you, I hope you had already stopped and said a short prayer to ask God what your mission was. Now I'm going to ask you, are you running from your mission? Are you running from your mission? Jonah is running from an opportunity to share the gospel. Are you doing the same thing this morning? If your answer is yes, I'm here to tell you, you can run from the mission, but you cannot hide from God. Our third point today. You can run from the mission, but you cannot hide from God. We'll pick up in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest or violent storm on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners or sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his God. I want you to notice in your copy of the scriptures, there's a lowercase g there. That lowercase g is because this is not the one true God. The gods they are calling on are pagan gods. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. How many of you know God will send storms to get your attention? So many times we incorrectly assume the enemy has sent a storm our way. What if the storm was sent by God to get your attention? I give you an example I use with my family all the time. I'm a pretty big health guy. I'm always preaching to my family, look, you got to eat right, you got to eat healthy foods, you got to get a little exercise in, and you got to get your sleep. If not, your body's going to get your attention, right? If you're eating bad foods, well, one day you may wake up and go to the emergency room, storm. If you're eating a lot of bad foods, you may wake up one day and now have to take high blood pressure medicine, storm. And while these may not be as big as the storm Jonah may have faced, they're still storms. And it's your body trying to get your attention, saying, hey, Wes, you got to run a little bit more laps. The Bible does not say that every difficulty is the result of sin, but the Bible does teach us that every sin will bring you into difficulty. I'm going to read that again. The Bible does not say that every difficulty is a result of sin, but it does teach us that every sin will bring you into difficulty. For us as believers, we know that every difficulty can help reduce the power of sin over our hearts. I'm reminded of James when he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith will develop perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is what happens with Jonah. Jonah gets a mission. He runs from the mission, but he can't hide. Jonah, you can't hide. And this storm, well, the storm had to be bad because even the sailors were afraid and crying out. Jonah runs, but God won't let him go. And interestingly enough, Jonah runs from a great city and into a what? A great storm. So I'll make this argument. Every act of disobedience to God has a storm attached to it. May not be large, could be small, but every act of disobedience to God has a storm attached to it. Jonah could not see that deep within the terror of a severe storm, God's mercy and grace was at work. And I think this definitely holds true for many of us this morning. Jonah did not know how God would come into the world to save us. We, you and I, however, know that through the work of Jesus on the cross, we know that because Jesus came to this earth, a man, died for our sins, rose 3 days so that we may have life, through him, we can defeat suffering. Through Jesus Christ, we can defeat pain. We can defeat our storm. Author Timothy Keller says, God's salvation came into the world through suffering, so his saving grace and power can work in our lives more and more as we go through difficulty and sorrow. There's mercy and grace deep inside our storm. Which brings me to point 4. Even through your storm, you are needed for God's mission. Even through Jonah's storm, he was needed for God's mission. That's the final point this morning in why you and I need to hear this message. Jonah inevitably was still needed to carry out God's mission. Let's pick up reading in the middle of verse 5. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship. Here it is again. Where's Jonah going? Down. He's going down one step closer to what? Death. Man, y'all have read the story of Jonah. I am so proud. This is great. And had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said, now hold on, I had to pause. Because earlier when I read this, I just read it through. I just wanted y'all to hear it. But now I got to put y'all in the true context as if I was the captain of the ship. Because I'm pretty sure he was not just saying this in a normal tone, all right? So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise! Arise! Here's the word again. Did y'all mark that word? Mark the word arise again. This is echoing God's initial command. And it's interesting that now he's using a non-believer to repeat his command to Jonah, the prophet. Call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. How is Jonah asleep? Can somebody explain that? All right, I have to be honest. If I'm the captain of the ship, now I don't get upset that often. But let me just tell you, if I'm on a ship and I'm the captain and y'all on the ship with me and we are in a terrible storm and I have an inkling that one of y'all may be able to save me, I'm just letting you know now, I'm going to shake you. You might get a back. I'm just saying, I have to be honest. Jonah, I might throw a chair at him. Wake up, sleeper, sleeper. At this point, not only has Jonah moved another step toward death, he doesn't even care about the lives of the people on the ship. The captain is basically saying, bro, can't you see we about to die? How can you be so oblivious to our need? Look, I wouldn't even call him Jonah. Why aren't you using your faith for public good? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't sleep. Jacques Ellul writes, these Joppa sailors are pagans, or in modern terms, non-Christians. But the fate of the non-Christians and Christian, Jonah, is linked. They are in the same boat. The safety of all depends on what each does. They are in the same storm, subject to the same defeat, and they want the same outcome. Church, this ship, everything that's going on is an example of our own lives and our own situation. How many people in my life, how many people in your life are in a storm right now, yet sleep? Sleeper! God has been commanding you to arise. Church, the story of Jonah is about an evil nation who needs to repent of their sins. It's about God's call to mission. It's about the struggles you and I have to obey and trust in God. God is here asking one of his warriors, Jonah, to help other people. God may be asking you to help other people. Sadly, at this part of the story, Jonah is sinning twofold, by not obeying God's command and by taking actions that result in sin. Don't let this be you. Some of us this morning may need to repent of our sins. For others, it may be that we need to heed the mission that God is calling us on. He may need us to simply preach the gospel to help save souls. And I have to be honest, this message hit me. I'm going through a lot of storms right now. And in my storms, as I was studying, I said, you know what? Is that me? Am I so involved in my storm right now that I'm not heeding to the mission that God's calling me to? I called Pastor John, or he called and checked on me the other week. And in the midst of everything, the only thing I think about is, I can't deliver this message today. And I'm so grateful for Pastor John. He's like, no, brother, you delivering the message. But he said, no, Wes, I think you got it. You need to bring the message. And I'm so thankful that he encouraged me with that, because I needed to hear this as much as anybody else does. What if I had ran? What if I had said, no, you know what, Pastor, there's too much going on. I just can't do it. Would somebody here this morning have been impacted negatively? Would somebody this morning not have received the gospel as they needed to receive it? As we will see in the upcoming messages, Jonah, the sailors, Nineveh, you, me, we're all ultimately under God's grace. I want to close this morning by sharing just a short story. There once was a young man, he's about 17 years old, from a third world country. Family is poor, about a family of nine. Very poor, very impoverished land. Dad comes to the young man and says, look, son, there's nothing here for you. Go make a life, go find work, but don't come back here. It's a bad situation. So the young man, he goes out, he finds work on a ship. He gets on this ship, and the ship sails all the way to the United States, docked stateside. Well, he's doing this for a while, and he meets some people. He meets one friend, and friend invites him to Bible study. Friend takes him to Bible study, so they're doing this for a while. Then one time, he shows up at Bible study, and he meets an older lady. Older lady says, hey, you know what? I like you guys. I'll come pick you up from the dock whenever you hit the States. So several weeks go by, several months go by, and each time the older lady is there waiting at the dock to pick this 17-year-old boy up. As the story goes, the young man went to the Bible study one day, and as he came back to find out the captain of the ship had changed. Not only that, but the captain had decided he wanted his own crew, and he lets everybody go, including the 17-year-old boy. Now, here's a 17-year-old boy in a foreign land, only making pennies, dollars at best, giving it back to his family. Only the clothes on his back. What is he going to do? He has no friends. He doesn't know anybody. The young man goes back to the church where he finds the older lady. And he starts telling her about his situation. Older lady says, wait. You know what? Don't worry about that. You come stay with me. Come stay with me. We'll figure this out. Whatever it is, we'll find you a job. We'll get you clothes. Just come stay with me. So the young man goes and he stays with the old lady. This is going on for a couple of weeks. Well, the older lady happens to have a daughter. Calls the daughter up. Yeah, so I've been having this young 17-year-old boy stay with me for the last couple of weeks. Daughter's like, whoa, hold on. I got to come check this out. So the daughter drives to the mom's house. She's got to see who is this young man that her mom has let stay with her. They meet, the daughter and the young man, and fall in love. And as the story goes, they got married and had a child. The 17-year-old boy in the story is my father. The daughter is my mom. And the older lady is my grandma. My grandma didn't run from the mission. She got a mission from God. And she heeded it. And she walked into the presence of the Lord. She didn't have a Jonah moment where she ran. It would have been very easy for her in that moment to say, I got other things to do. I don't know this young man from the next person. That's not my call. God, I don't want to do that. I'm going to run away. But she didn't, church. She ran towards the presence of God. She knew God needed her. And because of that, I am standing here before you today. Generations affected, lives changed, impacted greatly because of one lady's decision to heed the mission God was calling her to. Luckily for Jonah, his story is not over, church. And for you this morning, the story does not have to be over. God is calling you to mission today. He's calling all of us to mission. Some of you may not be to go to a foreign nation. Some of you, it could simply be to serve on a team. Your mission may be to serve on a team because someone else needs to know that you're serving on a team so that they will be encouraged to do it. Some of you, God is simply saying, hey, I want you to go join a group. Why? Somebody needs to hear your testimony. Somebody needs to hear your story. And when they do, they will come to saving faith in Christ. For some of you, the mission is simply to read your Bible, dive into it deeper, so that when you go out into the world, you can spread the gospel and share it effectively and powerfully. Church, don't walk away this morning without heeding the call of God. All of us are called to serve. We are all commanded to spread the gospel. Let's pray.